Well, it was actually just about 5 years ago, as late August of 2014 to be exact. It was almost 5 years ago that I realized that I personally needed to make a pretty serious change in my life. I was not downright healthy by any stretch, but at this point in my life, I was not really taking seriously any efforts at being as healthy as I could in my own life. I was not actually working to take any steps to be as proactively as healthy as I could for myself and for my family and for my future, really. And this reality kind of slapped me upside the head this August of 2014 when I stepped onto the scale after a two-week vacation. The first week I spent with my brother and a group of friends fishing in Wyoming. I won't go into a ton of details, but let's just say that when a group of 6 to 8 guys go camping and fishing together for a week, you're not necessarily making the healthiest of choices, right? When you get back to camp after a day of hiking through rivers and through canyons from sun up till sundown, when you get back and you're starving, you're not like tossing a salad of mixed greens with a side of light vinaigrette and washing it down with a elderberry flavored sparkling water. Okay, that's just not what you do when you're camping in the woods for a week, and that's not really how it went for us. Okay, so that was the first week, and then after that, my mom's whole side of the family kind of planned this big family vacation in Breckenridge, Colorado. And since I was already out that way to begin with, I decided to meet up with my family for another week in Colorado, and we did exactly what you do on vacation. So early morning lattes and donuts at the like cute little coffee shops downtown, and then it was all the like cool restaurants in Breckenridge, and then it was playing games late at night and eating snacks. And if you know me at all, you know that that's like heaven for me, hanging out and eating snacks. Like, it does not get any better than that for me. Okay, so that's just a little snapshot of my 2 weeks out west. I don't often go away for 2 weeks like that, but 5 years ago we had a chance to do it and I did it. So that's a little snapshot of how these 2 weeks went for me. And so I got home after these 2 weeks, and then I stepped onto the scale, and then I stepped off again in shock. Okay, the number flashed on the little display screen, and I felt like, honestly, I felt like my life flashed before my eyes. And that might sound a little dramatic to you, like life flashed before your eyes. That might sound a little dramatic to you, but the truth is, my dad passed away far sooner than he should have. Some heart stuff, some health stuff, some family history stuff. And so doctors have told me, hey, Sten, you kind of got like a big red target on your back. Okay, so I'm not just exaggerating when I say, like, in a way, my life kind of like flashed before my eyes. And so it was at this moment that I said to myself, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep this up. I can't allow myself to keep trending in this direction. I can't allow myself to just keep, this way of life going any longer. And it was right at that moment, late August of 2014. Erica, my wife, can vouch for this moment in my life. It was that moment that literally changed the way that I kind of went about what I did. Okay? And the only reason I share that with you this morning is I think some of you are at a point in your life where you're saying the very same thing. I think some of you are at a point in your life where, you know exactly how I feel. I mean, I don't always want to assume that, like, nothing's going right, for you, but I just think the reality is that you very well may know that feeling, that there's some place or there's some part or there's some area of your life that is important to you, and you've reached the same point. You too are saying, I can't keep doing this. I mean, this can't keep going like this any longer. I don't want to keep doing this. I mean, I can't keep going in this direction any longer. I can't keep letting things be trending in this direction any longer. You're saying something's got to change. And so if that describes any part, the smallest part maybe, if that describes any part of the way that you're feeling this morning, then I'm really glad that you're here. And this morning, I'm praying for something very specific for you. And what I'm praying for you is for wisdom. Here's what I believe. I believe that wisdom is often the thing that hangs right in the balance. It's the thing that hangs right in the balance between a good decision and a slippery slope toward disaster. I think that wisdom is God's navigational tool for helping us, for helping you and me to make decisions about the life that we want to live. And it's this wisdom. It's this wisdom that I'm praying for you and for me, that I think helps us to make one of the decisions that will determine the story we tell about our lives tomorrow. And that's what this series is all about, that we're in right now, that we started just last week. It's a series called Seven Decisions That Will Change Your Life. Last week, we talked about the decision to start something new, a new discipline, a new routine, a new practice, a new project, a new goal. And my prayer last week is that we would have not the grit. My prayer last week was not that we would have the grit to finish what we started, but that we would have the courage to start what God promised to finish. That was last week. This week, my prayer is that God would grant us the wisdom to make the very next decision that could be the best decision that we ever made. And we see that decision that I want to talk about today. We see that decision and its effect that it could have on us when we explore just a little bit more, just a little bit deeper into the life of one of the spiritual giants, a guy by the name of Moses. Most of us know the highlight reel for this guy named Moses. We know his crowning achievements, you know, delivering his people from slavery in Egypt and then leading them through the wilderness to the promised land and delivering to his people the Ten Commandments. Those are like the real biggies, right? Those are like the crowning achievements for Moses. But lodged right in between these kind of giant peaks of his heroism is a moment when he made a small decision. He made a small decision that I think changed everything. It was a small decision, seemingly insignificant decision that I think changed the leader that he would become and a decision that I think changed the success of the community that surrounded him and what they would experience. And so I want you to see what that decision was this morning because I want you to make the very same one in your life. And so what we're going to do is this. We're going to turn all the way back to the book of Exodus. Exodus is the book in the Old Testament that just simply records the history of God's people when they were leaving Egypt and marching on toward the land that God promised them. That's Exodus. And so in this section of Exodus, it's actually chapter 18, we're going to see that Moses' father-in-law, a guy by the name of Jethro, has come to visit. He's heard about, you know, what's been happening for Moses and all the God's people. And so Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, has come for a visit. We're going to start reading in verse 13. Take a look with me on the side screens. It says this. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. And they waited before him from morning until evening. See, really quickly here, living together as their own community now, it was new for God's people. They had lived for years in slavery, and now they were out on their own, kind of governing themselves. And so someone had to kind of help them navigate this. Someone had to kind of help them navigate life together and settle disputes when they came up, settle disputes in a God-honoring way. That was Moses. And so the people waited for him from sunup until sundown. Here's 14, verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here?" He says, "Why are you trying to do all of this alone while everyone stands around you from morning until evening?" Verse 15, Moses replied, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties, and I inform the people of God's decrees, and I give them his instructions." Okay, there's always a reason why we do the things we do, whether they're good for us or whether they're not good for us. We can always come up with a reason to justify why it is that we keep doing what we do. And Moses has a pretty good answer here. He's saying, "This is just what I do. People need me. People keep coming to me. I'm the one that they're looking for answers from." So he's got a pretty good reason here, and it would seem like this is a pretty worthwhile thing for him to do. But let's see what his old father-in-law, Jethro, thinks about the situation. Verse 17, he says, This is great. Moses, you're such a great guy. Man, what would the people do without you? Man, they're so lucky to have you, Moses. No, he says, This is not good. Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. He says, you're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Verse 19, now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you with this one, he says. Let me give you some advice and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions and show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes, and appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,150 and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters by themselves, and they'll help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, Jethro says, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all of these people will go home in peace. He says, share the load. See, up until this point, Moses has been the only one dealing with everyone's issues. Every argument, every dispute, every disagreement, everything that pops up, it's Moses. And essentially what Jethro is saying here is, Moses, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep this up any longer. You can't keep trending in this direction. You can't keep heading in this direction any longer, or it will end in disaster for you and for everybody else. And so the question is, how would Moses respond? I mean, how would he take this advice from his father-in-law? Not always easy to get advice from your in-laws, right? Some of you are thinking like, well, okay, that's the most true thing you've ever said at this church then, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? So how would Moses respond to this advice from his father-in-law? Apparently it didn't really bother him. Apparently, it doesn't seem like he even had to think twice about it, because here is the very next verse. Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. And he chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. And he put them in charge of groups of 1,150 and 10. And these men were always available to solve people's common disputes, and they brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. So here's what happened. Moses listened. Moses chose capable men. Moses appointed new leaders. Moses put them in charge of all of this. But more than all of that, Moses made a decision right there in that moment. Moses made a decision. See, all of that is just evidence of it. It's just evidence of something else. It's just evidence. Moses listened, Moses chose, Moses appointed, Moses empowered leaders. It's all just evidence of a decision that Moses made. It's a decision that I want you and me to make today. It's evidence of a decision that changed everything. Here it is. Moses made the decision to stop. He made a decision to stop trying to do everything by himself. He stopped, trying to solve every single dispute all by himself. He stopped being the only person who could help lead God's people. He made a decision to stop something that he had been doing for so long. And what's interesting to me about this one decision to stop, is that it actually came just before some of the most monumental moments, some of the most pivotal moments in Moses' leadership. Happened just before some of the most pivotal moments for all of God's people at this time. This decision to stop doing something that he had always been doing, this decision to stop handling all the cases by himself, it happens right at the end of chapter 18. And then the very next chapter, You got to catch this. The very next chapter, chapter 19, God reveals himself. He physically reveals himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. It's God becoming visible to Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses receives a huge gift in this. And he receives a huge promise of God's assurance. Right? This is big time. Right? God didn't just reveal himself to very many people. He didn't just show up to people in this way, but he does for Moses. And as a result, it's this gift. Moses receives this gift and he receives this huge promise of God's assurance to him. That's chapter 19. God shows up for Moses. And then chapter 20, with Moses' help in preparing the people for it, God begins to deliver these 10 commandments to his people, which truthfully, I want to say this here, these 10 commandments, truthfully, they're another gift, these 10 commandments, right? Moses receives this gift in God showing up to him, but these 10 commandments that God passes on, these are really a gift too that God passes on to his people. We always look at these 10 commandments and we just see them as like restrictions. Like, oh, it's this big list of rules that, you know, God just says, you know, don't do this and don't do that and do this. We just see them as restrictions. But these 10 commandments, they were really a gift to God's people, meant to provide some boundaries and meant to provide some instruction that preserved their freedom. That's what these 10 commandments were meant for. It wasn't like a, you know, a bunch of rules so that God could like slap us on the wrist. They were meant to provide boundaries and instructions that preserved the freedom that they now had after God brought them out of slavery in Egypt, right? They lived for years and years and years on their own, right? And now all of a sudden they're out on their own, living together out in the wilderness, don't know where they're going, don't know how to get there. People are arguing like that they're living together as a new community. So God gave them these gifts as instructions and as, you know, boundaries that preserve this new freedom that they now had, okay? So it's two incredible gifts that God's people received. God's physical presence, revealing himself to them, and God's assurance and God's law to them. Two incredible gifts, and they're two of the most significant events that happen on Moses' watch. And I do not think that it's a coincidence that they happen directly following his decision to stop something that was not good for him. Here's what that says to me when we look at these gifts that Moses and his people receive. And when this all happened, here's what that says to me. If we want to receive what's in God's hand, we have to release what's in our own. God's got some gifts for us, just like his people. If we want to receive what's in God's hand, we've got to release what's in our own. It isn't until Moses says, okay, I'm done with all that. Okay, I'll make a decision to stop doing that thing that I kept doing for so long. It wasn't until that moment that God says, okay, well then let me give you all of this. If we want to receive what's in God's hand, the future that he has planned for us, the promise that he wants to fulfill for us, the gifts that he's waiting to deliver to us, then we have to be willing to release and to let go of and to say, not anymore, to some of the things that we're used to holding on to so tightly in our own hands and in our own life. We have to release these things that we hold on to, that we've been clinging to, all the things that we've always done. It might not seem like a huge deal. This is just kind of how we've done life day in and day out. All these things we kind of think, well, this isn't really such a big deal. And we have to make the decision to stop doing the things today that won't lead us to the place that we want to be tomorrow. Got to make a decision today to stop doing the things that won't lead us to the place we want to be tomorrow. Why? Because the decisions that we make today determine the stories we tell about our lives tomorrow. And so the decision to stop something today could be the decision that leads us to telling a better story tomorrow. So the question for you today is this. What do you need to stop doing? What do you need to stop doing today so that you can tell a better story about your life tomorrow? Right? So often we say, oh, I've been praying. I've been asking God to step in. I've been asking God to like flash some lightning or give me a sign. I've been asking for God to show up, but God never hears my prayers. God never shows up in my life. God never does anything for me, right? But we don't actually do anything ourselves to put us in a position to experience anything different than what we've always been doing and then what's always happened to us, right? So what is it? What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that you've been holding on to in your hands that you need to release so that you could receive what it is that God really wants for you? I love what it says in Hebrews 12:1. It kind of gives us a little idea of what's at stake here. It says this. It says, let us throw off. Other translations say, let us, you know, set aside or cast off or strip away, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Folks, I really, really, really do believe that God has a race, that God has a course, that God has a plan, that God has a map already marked out for you. You just got to let go of the things that stand in the way. And so there's that question again. What is it for you? What could it be for you? What might it be for you? I want you to run that race that God has marked out for you. I want you to live into the life that God has prepared for you. And maybe, just maybe, that's going to be most possible only when you make the decision to stop, to cast aside, to throw off, or to release something in your life that's standing in the way. Maybe for you, it's making the decision to stop saying yes to everything and everyone, right? In an effort to please people, in an effort to have everybody love you and just be so grateful for you, you say yes to everything that everyone asks of you, but you're running yourself ragged in the process. Maybe it's time to say no more to always saying yes. Maybe it's the decision to stop comparing. We've said it here before, but comparison is a trap. I mean, it is absolutely a lose-lose situation, and it is a never-ending merry-go-round, right? No matter where you are, no matter what you have, no matter, you know, what you do, there will always be somebody more. There will always be someone with more, and there will always be somebody with less. Always somebody ahead of you, and always somebody behind you. And comparison in either direction, it's a trap, because when we compare ourselves in either direction, it really only leads to one of two things: pride or envy, right? I mean, I sure wish that I had what they had. Man, doesn't their life look great? Man, I just wish I could have that. Or, well, at least I'm a whole lot better than they are, right? Comparison in either direction, it leads to one of two things: pride or envy. Both will corrode our hearts from the inside out. So maybe it's time to make the decision to stop comparing yourself to everyone you see around you. Maybe for you, it's the decision to stop complaining. I mean, I just read a quote from one of my favorite authors and pastors who said that you can't live a positive life with a negative mind. We've talked about that here too, right? The thoughts that we think are so powerful and they have a huge impact on the life that we live, right? We can't live a positive life with a negative mind. Maybe it's time to stop complaining. Maybe it's the decision for you to stop worrying, right? What you worry, you know, about is most often where you trust God the least, right? Where you worry in your life is often an indicator of where it is that you trust God least. So maybe making a decision to stop worrying about whatever it is for you. Maybe it could be the decision that gives you VIP tickets, backstage passes, front row seats to what God is able to do for you. Maybe the decision to stop worrying about fill in the blank. Maybe for you, it's a decision to stop an addictive behavior. that it's just corroding you from the inside out, and it's most likely something that's doing more harm to you or to those around you than you're even aware of. It's a decision today to stop, you know, drinking as much as you do, or to stop overeating, or to stop spending, or to, you know, stop spending late nights buried in places on the internet that you shouldn't be, or to stop searching for validation on Facebook or Instagram, both places that simply do not provide the kind of validation that we are looking for. It's a decision to stop some kind of habit that has got you consumed. Maybe it's a decision to stop holding a grudge. At a certain point, the only person, you got to hear this, at a certain point, the only person that is hurt by you holding a grudge is you. And releasing all of that today, it may be the very thing that leads you to receiving the gifts and the future and the life and the relationships that God wants for you. Maybe for you, nothing is really coming to mind this morning, right? Maybe no habit, no behavior, no, you know, choice that you make or lifestyle that you live. Maybe none of that's jumping out at you as problematic. If that's the case, here's what I'd ask you to do. Take a look at some of your most prominent behaviors and some of the most prominent habits that you've developed. Take a look at some of the things that you spend your time doing most, some of the default ways, you know, that you do life, that you live, that you lead, that you, you know, conduct business, or that you parent. Take a look at some of those things and ask yourself, if I keep doing fill in the blank, if nothing's jumping out at you right now, ask yourself, if I keep doing fill in the blank, what story will I end up telling? And is that what I want my story to be? If I keep clicking, if I keep watching late at night, if I keep spending, if I keep complaining, if I keep comparing, if I keep blaming, if I keep shaming, if I keep lying to myself and lying to others, if I keep drinking like this, if I keep flirting with the healthy boundaries that I've put around me, if I keep going down this road, whatever road that is, if I keep going down this road, where will I end up? And is that a place that I want to be? Is that a story that I want my life to be telling? Because here's the thing. Nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks to themselves, you know what? I think today is a beautiful day. I think today I'd like to just suffocate myself with an outrageous or insurmountable or irreversible amount of debt. Nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, that's what I'm going to do today. Nobody thinks, hey, you know what? I think today I'd like to just destroy my marriage and my family with wild unfaithfulness. Nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, you know what? I think after breakfast this morning, after I take a shower and get dressed today, I think I'm going to fill my heart with so much bitterness and so much resentment and so much anger and so much hate that I just become a lonely and a miserable person. Nobody thinks that way. Nobody wakes up and just says, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to tank everything today. But the truth is, people end up in those places all of the time. And you want to know how they get there? One small step at a time. One small step at a time. One seemingly insignificant step after another. Folks, I really do believe that God has some great things in store for you, that He's got a great life, a great, you know, race carved out for you. I really do believe that He's got a life and a future for you that is full of purpose, that is full of potential, that is full of joy, that is full of influence, that is full of value, that is full of meaning and full of significance. Now, I think these are all gifts that God wants to pass on to us. And I think if we're going to receive these gifts that are ready and that are waiting in God's hand, then we have to be ready and willing to release some of the things that we hold so tightly in our own hands. So today, this week, I'm praying that you would all have the wisdom
to see and to identify and to make the decision to stop doing something today that will change the story you tell about your life tomorrow. Let me begin with that prayer right now. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the way that you're at work in us, God, constantly at work in us, constantly knocking on the door of our hearts, God, constantly urging us toward the race and towards the path and towards the life that you've got marked out for us, God. God, 1 week from now, 1 year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I want every person here to be living a life that we're proud of. God, I want everybody to be telling a story with their life that they want to be telling. And if that's going to happen, God, we need to make some decisions today that are going to determine those stories that we tell about our lives tomorrow. And so this week, God, this morning, right here, right now, I'm asking that you would help us to see, God. Maybe we don't see it right now. I'm just asking that you would help us to see and to identify something in us that we need to stop doing today, so that we could receive more of what it is that you have in store for us. God, would you help us to release some of the things that we hold so tightly to, so that we could receive more of what it is that you have in store for us. God, that's my prayer for me, for everybody that's sitting here this morning, God. Would you grant us the wisdom to make that decision that might be the best decision that we ever made? We ask for your help in doing that, God, and we give you thanks this morning for who you are and for what you're doing in our life, in this church, and in this community, and in this world. We pray these things in your name. Amen.